I warmly welcome you to the holy city of Najaf, the land of a king, the land. Wow. The land of one of the greatest men to have ever lived upon this earth. The land of our master. The man of greatness. The man of wisdom. The man of courage. The man who was elected to be the wasi of Rasulullah. Bismillah. The man who went through tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. The man who was the only one who carried out the funeral of Rasulullah. The man who every single person in his family was killed and poisoned. The man... the man who I'm not sure whether to speak about his sorrow or if I speak about his greatness. The man who is an inspiration to... Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The man who is an inspiration to every single Shia across the world. The man who, when you just stand in his city, he makes you quiver. Majesty, greatness, an outstanding, perfect individual. A man who I just cannot even describe. A man who the Prophet said was one of the greatest men to have ever lived, which is why in Ghadir he said, "Man kuntu mawla fahadha aliyun mawla." When you see a man can raise children like Abbas, like Hassan, like Hussein, like Zainab, you know he must be something special. A man who is the husband to the daughter of the Prophet, Fatima to Zahra, Mawlati Fatima to Zahra, salamullahi alayha. A man... a man who did two of the greatest deeds. Two of the greatest deeds whilst doing the greatest deed doing it. And when I say that, what do I mean? I mean he's a man who gave charity whilst he was in ruku. And a man who became a shaheed whilst he was in his salah. Doing two of the greatest deeds whilst doing the greatest deed, which was Salah.
The Shia cry, the Emir die. The Shia cry, the Emir die.
Everywhere silence, the wind stops blowing, the cloud stops moving, the earth stops spinning. The motionless galaxy was fleeting, the pulse of the universe stops beating. The quacking ducks, mankind awestruck, a silent yell as Ali fell.
The Shia cry, the Emir die. The Shia cry, the Emir die.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio and the program Foresight. Once again, condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the 21st day of the holy month of Ramadan. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is the most distinguished personality of Islam after Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Well, his entire life is devoted to righteousness and justice. Imam Ali was a great companion to the Prophet of Islam and dedicated himself to the advancement of Islam. He was a great judge, a great philanthropist, and of course the most pious person of his time. So, Much has been written and continues to be written, of course, about the personality, the life and character of Imam Ali alayhi salam, as well as his attributes. However, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is not confined to the Muslim world. He is not just for Muslims, and he's not just for Shia. Almost everyone, the Shia, Sunnis, and Christians, of course, people from different religions in the world, they know the universal character of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Therefore, Imam Ali is a universal example of virtue, piety, purity, faithfulness, justice, respect for others, help for the deprived and the oppressed, and courage and bravery. Professor Ali Haydar, a former Christian and a Muslim convert, talks about the virtues of Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
When I first visited Egypt in 1977, I was unprepared to be confronted by another figure. In the mosque dating from the Fatimid period, I found a statement written on the wall ending with the words, Aliyan Waliyullah. At the time, I little knew how this personality would follow me, not only in my coming travels in the Middle East and surrounding areas, but in my personal life as well. Sometime later, I was sitting in a tea garden in southeastern Turkey, listening as young Alevi students discussed Marxist theory. They laughed me to scorn when I said that Ali, peace be upon him, was an anarchist. It may have been naive, but I think not altogether wrong, for the personality of Ali, peace be upon him, undercuts both the hypocritical legal scholasticism that supports institutional exploitation of both human populations and the natural environment, as well as the strange fascination that masses show toward charismatic leaders of the day, be they political dictators or popular cult idols. The personality of Ali ibn Abu Talib, peace be upon him, is most evident in that supplication once given to Kumail, who had requested that a prayer be given him that should give his heart tranquility. The holy Imam imbued this supplication with the very tranquility of his own heart. As we participate in that supplication, we participate in the personality that has given the principles of virtue by which justice and prosperity may be attained. Jesus, peace be upon him, was born a refugee under the date palm. Muhammad, peace be upon him, was born to be an orphan. But Ali, peace be upon him, was born in the Kaaba. As I stood for the first time looking at the Kaaba, I suddenly recognized the place as being most familiar, that stone structure, the simple chamber, is that inner chamber of every human heart, to which we flee from day to day in times of trouble, in times of joy. We seek that secret chamber. And that secret chamber is the chamber in which the personality of Ali, peace be upon him, is born. When the virtues of that personality are born in the human heart, the heart of every person, no matter what his religious background, these virtues of the personality of Ali, we will find that we need no new laws. They already exist in the foundations of Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and many another world religious tradition. We do not need new idols, new gods. We need the personal integrity that the personality of Ali, peace be upon him, extends to each of us, born in the Kaaba as he was, to be born in the human heart, a living model of a new and better human being and a new and better society. The world needs a return to the Kaaba.
Once again, condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. We were with you in the program Foresight from IRIB English Radio. God bless you all and goodbye.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم. Ramadan Kareem, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners all over the world listening to IRIB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem in the holy month of Ramadan. It's really, really emphasized, and it's also very valuable, okay, to recite the Quran Kareem more than before in the holy month of Ramadan. Yes, we really welcome you all, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, to our Quranic session. Inshallah, today in this session we'll talk about Ayah 69, Surah Al-A'raf. On what page?
159.
Top of the page, right?
Yes.
Yes. So, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, all together with brother Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, we will listen to a recitation and then we'll come back and explain the tajweed rules and the tafsir points necessary ones. So, everyone, let's listen to the recitation now.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Awajibtum anja'akum dhikrun min rabbikum 'ala rajulin minkum liyunthirakum. واذكروا إذ جعلكم خلفاء من بعد قوم نوح وزادكم في الخلق بسطة
فاذكروا آلاء الله لعلكم تفلحون.
That was a good recitation. Inshallah, I hope you've liked it. Was that good?
Yes.
So, let's practice how to recite this ayah beautifully. So, we mean we should practice the
ayah.
Yeah, the tajweed rules.
Yes.
Necessary to learn in this ayah.
Yes.
أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَن جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ لِيُنذِرَكُمْ وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَةً فَاذْكُرُوا آلَاءَ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So, guys, this ayah is a beautiful ayah, the same as previous ayah we had in on page 158, ayah 63. أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَن جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنكُمْ لِيُنذِرَكُمْ وَلِتَتَّقُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That was our prophet Nuh alayhi salam, yeah?
Yes.
Related to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. This ayah is related to Prophet Hud alayhi salam. Allah says, do you consider it odd that there should come to you, if there come to you a reminder from your Lord through a man from among yourselves so that he may warn you? Would you consider that as odd thing? And would you kind of get surprised and question why somebody like us from among us would be appointed to lead us, all right, to be a prophet? وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَةً. Remember when he made, when Allah Almighty made you successors, leaders after the people of Nuh alayhi salam. وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَةً. And increased you vastly in creation. فَذْكُرُوا آلَاءَ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So remember Allah's bounties so that you may be prosperous or felicitous. So, guys, this is a long ayah, beautiful ayah. Prophets are chosen from among the people. Why? If you know. Why prophets are chosen from among the people? Like human beings. Why not angels? So Allah could send us angels so we could accept him better. If somebody from among us is chosen as prophet, maybe we will question God. Why did you choose him as a prophet? Why you didn't choose me as a prophet? Allah could easily choose an angel. Why didn't he send us angels so that we didn't have this kind of...
So on that time, we will ask question like, why an angel?
MashaAllah. The same question will be asked. Why Allah sends us an angel? An angel doesn't know about human beings. He doesn't know how... An angel does not know how I feel, how I understand, what I need. He's an angel. He's not a human being.
Human being, yeah.
So he's not well aware of my situation. How can he guide me? All right? We could ask this question. So at any case, it's human being questioning a lot. Don't pay attention to that. Okay? So, look, Allah Almighty chooses prophets from among the people to show, first and foremost, okay, that the guidance or perfection is possible. So prophets are perfect people.
Yes.
They are guided people. So guidance is possible. Look at them. They are human beings like you. And also prophets are chosen from among the people because they are well aware of the reality of the nature of the human being. Yes or no? They are human beings.
Yes.
Guys, refer to the Tafasir books. In the Tafasir books, you will find out a lot of beautiful points about this ayah. We consider this as enough. It's enough. So we'll move on to the tajweed points.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
أَوَعَجِبَتُمْ In the previous session as well, we said, how do you pronounce this word?
أَوَعَجِبَتُمْ
There is something عجيب in this. What is that عجيب thing?
قَلْقَلَة
قَلْقَلَرُونَ أَوَعَجِبَتُمْ عَجِبَتُمْ You echo the sound of the letter. How many letters are there that you can echo the sound? You should echo the sound of them based on Tajweed rules. In case they are sucking. Like five. The letter ba is sucking. Yeah, five letters. Could you name that, please?
Yes. Qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal.
Dal. Whenever they appear sucking, having a sukun sign, you should echo the sound, right?
Yes.
An-ja-akum. An.
Nun sakin.
Yeah. We mentioned some of these points in the previous sessions, so we no longer repeat them. جاءكم ذكر من ربكم على رجل منكم لينذركم. From this part, we will explain. واذكروا إذ جعلكم خلفاء. The mad is
واجب.
من بعد قوم نوح. من بعد. Hussein. Min ba'di. Is there any rule?
Min ba'di.
Iqlab.
Iqlab. Iqlab means?
Changing the sound of noon to a half meme.
All right, to a hidden meme or half meme sound. Min ba'di changes to mim ba'di. Now hide the sound of meme. Pronounce it hiddenly, like as if you don't pronounce it completely. Min ba'di. قوم نوح وزادكم
نوح
وزادكم في الخلق بسطة. What is that sin doing on the top of Sad? Hassan, what does it say? What does that indicate? Sin on the top of Sad. How do you pronounce Sad? بسطة, right?
Yes.
Listen, how do I read it? بسطة.
Yes.
Pronounce it like a sin. So it says Sad is pronounced the same as sin here. Pronounce the sound of Sad like a sin. Basta. Simple. Smile sound. Smile. So. وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَ فَاذْكُرُوا آلاء الله لعلكم تفلحون. آلاء فاذكروا. The mad is not wajib, it's jais, you know that?
Yes. Yep.
Why is that jais?
Because the alif mad and the hamza.
Alif mad, are you sure? فاذكروا, we have alif mad?
Sorry.
The waw mad, you mean? The letter waw. And the letter Hamza, which is in the word Ala.
They're in separate words.
In separate words they are. So that's why the mad is jais. But in the word Ala, Ala is one word.
Yes.
So we have La, we have an Alif mad. Ala ends with Hamza. So they are in the same word. You got to stretch the sound. Exactly. So that's it. Very simple Tajweed rules, but important ones. Now, time to apply these rules in our recitation, our recited ones, and that will be all from us for today. Make sure Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser and also all our dear listeners repeat after me. All right?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَنْ جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ لِيُنْذِرَكُمْ أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَنْ جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ لِيُنْذِرَكُمْ
واذكروا إذ جعلكم خلفاء من بعد قوم نوح وزادكم في الخلق بسطة
واذكروا إذ جعلكم خلفاء من بعد قوم نوح وزادكم في الخلق بسطة
فاذكروا آلاء الله لعلكم تفلحون
فاذكروا آلاء الله لعلكم تفلحون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, thank you for being with us till the end of this session. That's all from us for today. Ramadan Kareem. May Allah bless you all, inshallah. Brothers Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, thanks for being with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International Schools Network for cooperations. See you then in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma صلي على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. In Britain, only 24% of people in England, Scotland and Wales are content with the National Health Service. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The independent television network ITV has covered this story and tells us more. Poor access to general practitioners and long waits for hospital treatment have led to public dissatisfaction with the National Health Service. The public satisfaction with NHS has now hit its lowest level on record. Fewer than one in four people, or 24%, were satisfied with the health service in 2023, down 5 percentage points on the previous year and the lowest level since records began in 1983, according to findings from the British Social Attitudes Opinion Poll. The study of 3,374 people in England, Wales and Scotland is seen as the gold standard test of how people feel about the National Health Service, the NHS. While satisfaction with the NHS peaked in 2010, when 70% of people were satisfied with the health service, it has fallen since. And since 2020, satisfaction has fallen by 29 percentage points. However, support for the founding principles of the National Health Service remains high, with 91% believing the National Health Service should be free of charge when people need to use it, 82% agreeing it should be primarily funded through taxes, and 82% saying the National Health Service should be available to everyone. Findings from the opinion poll showed 52% of people were dissatisfied with the National Health Service, the highest proportion since the survey began. The main reasons for dissatisfaction are waiting times for GP and hospital appointments, 71%, followed by staff shortages, 54%, and the government not spending enough money on the National Health Service, 47%. A report on the poll found a decade of squeezed funding and chronic workforce shortages followed by a global pandemic has left the National Health Service in a continual state of crisis. In a marked change, Conservative supporters reported only marginally higher levels of satisfaction with the National Health Service than Labour supporters in 2023. 29% among the Conservatives compared with 24% among Labour. Levels of dissatisfaction were similar across supporters of both political parties. The survey found that 34% of people were satisfied with GP services in 2023, the lowest level of satisfaction recorded since the survey began. Some 41% were dissatisfied. Since 2019, satisfaction with GP services has fallen by 34 percentage points. There are also problems with dentistry, with a record low satisfaction level of 24% and a record high dissatisfaction of 48%. Satisfaction with both inpatient and outpatient hospital services remain at record low levels. When asked what the most important priorities for the National Health Service should be, the top two were making it easier to get a GP appointment, 52%, and increasing the number of staff in the National Health Service, 51%. Improving waiting times for planned operations and in accidents and emergency were chosen by 47% and 45% of people respectively. Ahead of the upcoming general election, political leaders should take note of just how far satisfaction with the celebrated public institution has fallen. The King's Fund and the Nuffield Trust sponsored the health and care questions in the poll, which is carried out by the National Centre for Social Research. Their analysis report says, despite record lows in satisfaction, the public remains overwhelmingly behind the principles of the National Health Service. The last few years have seen large falls in satisfaction, but support for the founding principles behind the National Health Service, free at the point of use, available to everyone, and primarily funded through taxes, has remained constant. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Public satisfaction with the National Health Service has fallen into its lowest ever level, with long delays to access care the biggest source of deepening frustration. A new study has shown just 24% of people across England, Scotland and Wales, the fewest on record, are satisfied with the health service, according to the latest British Social Attitudes research. Satisfaction has plummeted by 29% since before the COVID-19 pandemic emerged in the early 2020, and by an enormous 46% from the highest ever 70% recorded back in 2010, when the Conservatives took power. It fell 5 percentage points alone, from 29% in 2022 to 24% in 2023. The number of people who are dissatisfied with the National Health Service is also at an all-time high, at 52%. Asked why they were dissatisfied, more respondents said that it took too long to get a GP or hospital appointment, 71%, than mentioned any other issue. Not enough NHS staff was the second most cited reason at 54%, followed by the government doesn't spend enough money on the National Health Service with 47%. Almost a third, or 32%, cited NHS wasting money. Dan Wellings, part of the team at the King's Fund, which alongside fellow think tank the Nuffield Trust analysed the BSA findings, said the results were bleak but also should not be surprising after a year of strikes, scandals and sustained long waits for care. Satisfaction with GP services and NHS dental care has fallen to its lowest ever level, just 24% for both services. Slightly more people, but still small numbers, are satisfied with accidents and emergency, 31%, and inpatient services, 35%. But satisfaction with social care services is even worse, at a mere 13%. The Patients Association said it was dismayed by the BSA survey findings, which are seen as the authoritative picture of how the public is feeling about the National Health Service. Years of mounting pressure on the National Health Service and its increasing inability to meet treatment waiting times have left its relationship with patients severely strained, the charity added. Wes Streeting, the Shadow Health Secretary, said, after 14 years of neglect, the National Health Service has never been in a worse state. Fewer than one in every four people say they're getting a good service, and who can blame them? Patients are waiting 18 months for an operation, more than a month for GP appointments, and NHS dentistry barely exists anymore. The Conservatives have taken the National Health Service to breaking point. The BSA survey, which was undertaken by the National Centre for Social Research, also found that 84% think the National Health Service has a major or severe funding problem. 48% want the government to increase taxes and spend more money on the National Health Service. And Conservative voters are now almost as likely as Labour voters to not be satisfied with the National Health Service.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, where we explore the Islamic upbringing of children and youth, guided by the wisdom of the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Today, we are honored to have Sister Salma Khalfan, a distinguished Islamic researcher, with us to shed some light on this important subject. Salamu alaikum. Welcome, dear Sister Salma.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for inviting me over.
Thank you so much for joining us. So in our previous episode, we were discussing about one of the questions. I'll just repeat it for the listeners. That a parent asks, please, can you guide me as to what I should expect from my child when he becomes a teenager and the goals I should have in mind for him so as to ensure proper training from now before it becomes too late? And you mentioned about how it's very important to instill truthfulness and how to, you know, deal with the youth and the child when they grow up, because they become more independent and it's hard for them not to lie based on different situations. But you gave some nice tips on how to, you know, react to those situations, like try and give them outcomes, try and keep them in your confidence, but you should also show some consequences. So would you like to add on to this?
Yes, I would like to add on the other characteristic that or virtue that the parent needs to work on so as to ensure a healthy, pious child or teenager, okay? And that's trustworthiness. These two characteristics really go together hand in hand, truthfulness and trustworthiness.
Yeah.
The Holy Prophet was also, before he was given the message, he was Sadiq and Amin. And this is why people really took his word, because he was so trustworthy. He had, you know, like people's amanat in his, you know, properties, and he used to return back on time, and he used to really look after them. And they trusted him so much, even the mushrikeen trusted him so much.
True.
So trustworthiness is something very vital for piety, for a healthy mind of a child, and for retaining his purity also. In fact, all transactions in the society, if you go and see, and you know, they revolve around this character trait, that is trustworthiness. If I couldn't trust you, maybe we wouldn't be talking together, you know.
Yeah.
Or if I, for example, if I go to a shop, if I couldn't trust that man, I wouldn't buy his products. But
true.
I buy his products because I know that, you know, like, he's trustworthy. It's just something that is so, like, important to instill this characteristic, that is trustworthiness. So of course, it's not inborn in a child, but the child, because he's truthful, it can lead to trustworthiness very easily. For example, giving responsibilities and then seeing if they lived up to those responsibilities brings up that trustworthiness, you know, that feeling that, okay, I told you to do this, did you do it? I trusted you to do it, you know,
yeah,
a responsibility.
True.
And if you see that they're speaking the truth, then they will also fulfill the trust. So trustworthiness is very important with friends. For example, if you go and see a person who doesn't have this character of trustworthiness, he won't have a friend. The friend won't trust him. Like if they want to meet at a time, or they want to do something together, or they want to study together, if one breaks the trust, then they won't have a friend in the long run. So trustworthiness with your friends, with your parents, with any interaction that you have is very, very important for his future only and his growth and to attain success in this life and, of course, in the hereafter. But, of course, it starts with this life. In this life, we need, you know, like to have this trustworthiness within us and within the child to raise him to be a manatdar in whatever, you know, aspect it is.
Very true, very true. So we're just going to pause briefly and we will resume in a moment.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
We're we're back on IRIB English Radio, and we've been discussing about the how to deal with teenagers. And you said that it's important to cultivate some certain characteristics from when they're younger. And you started off with the truthfulness, and then you came to trustworthiness. And you said that it's a very important characteristic, and you have to try and give them responsibility to see how they deal with them, you know, and how it's important to be responsible with friends, parents, and interactions of all sorts, so as to be able to grow healthily and succeed in life.
And yeah, I just want to add before I go on to my other point about how to bring up teenagers in that way that you want them to lead a successful, pious Islamic life. Before that, I'd point out that in all aspects of trustworthiness, very important. For example, keeping secrets also.
Yeah.
From a young age, to entertain that is very important.
True.
Like, for example, in game form, you can teach that this is our secret. This is just between us. Like, in a very laughing way. Not that don't tell anybody. This is very bad. If you tell everybody that I won't tell you this, I won't do this. No, it should be like a playing thing, you know, first.
Yeah.
That this is our secret only. And then to keep on reminding our secret, you know. So he will know that these words should be kept and not be told. Slowly, slowly, when he grows up and he, you know, he will understand that certain things don't need to be told.
Yeah.
What things that go on at home are our personal secrets. They don't need to be told outside the home.
Very true. Know?
So these things should be inculcated in such a way that the teenager feels like his actions are so mature that he doesn't reveal everything to everybody. And, you know, like, even to his friends, certain things are so personal that he shouldn't reveal to his friends or his close ones also.
Very true.
Except between the home, the parents. What he does, even his own secrets sometimes, you know, his own personal things. Like, for example, sometimes, you know, you snore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to say these things that I snore or things like that. These are some things that are so personal that you don't want anybody to find out your weakness.
True.
A teenager who is trustworthy wouldn't want his weaknesses to be felt by others. He will be so secretive inside him also that he wouldn't want to let out some things that will show his weakness.
But at times, you know, it's hard to kind of keep that idea that you should have secrets with, you know, everybody, be careful, but then not to keep too many secrets from your parents, for example.
Yeah,
sometimes
that's right.
That happens.
Absolutely. So you see, it's the way the relationship between the parents and the child should be so warm. That from a young age, the child should, you know, like look
want
forward,
to
yeah, want to talk to the parent only. And the parents should remind them and guide them that this is like just between us in our home only. This is whatever goes around at home, we shouldn't tell it to the people. People sometimes take wrong advantage, they think wrongly. Everybody has different kind of thoughts. We don't want them to misunderstand us.
Yeah.
So this is just between us only. You don't have to let out about how your father comes late at home. You know,
true.
All these things, as they grow up, they start understanding.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it comes slowly by slowly and gradually, but it is something that you have to give them a responsibility and to see that this trustworthiness is enhanced or not.
Yeah. And just to add on that, sometimes we just, as parents, they should try and tell them that, you know, especially when they're children, that no secrets from the parents. So, you know, they are like their sanctuary, so they should come to them. Because sometimes then they keep secrets from the parents and that kind of, you know.
Yeah, so this is from first. You should have such open conversation in a way.
Nice relationship.
Yeah, and good relationship and be polite so that they can understand that only the parents can, you know, like be given all their secrets
too.
Yeah,
very true.
You have to talk to them openly so that they can even tell, you know, everything to the parents, so that because they know the parents would only lovingly guide them.
Very true.
Nobody else would do that.
Yeah. Stay tuned. We're just going to take a short break.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. We've been discussing about one of the very important characteristics that we want to instill in children so that they can grow up as, you know, very successful and broad-minded youth, one of which was trustworthiness. And one of the very important ways you said is to teach them how to keep secrets. And based on that, we have been having a nice discussion. So if you'd like to add anything else.
Yeah. The third point I would like to discuss about how to bring up a good teenager with Islamic morals and everything should be that he should be grateful of his parents. The parent here has to be like in such a way dealing with the child that the child feels the parents' love.
True.
Feels the parents' care and feels that the parents want their best for him. So all in all, the parents should be polite, the parents should be loving, the parents should always reassure the child that they love him. That's very important, to reassure, to make the child feel that he's not alone.
True.
Never to leave him, talking and you're not listening. All these things are ways to reassure that if you're listening to them attentively, caring for them, looking after them when they're sick, all these things make a teenager will realize that it's only the parents who can really take care of him in the long run.
Cares for him
so,
the most.
Instill this gratefulness in them that when they grow up, they realize these things and then they are grateful to their parents. They don't neglect them or they don't ignore them. There shouldn't be a time when they feel ashamed of them near their friends. Whatever the parents are, however they are, but they should be so proud of their parents.
Very
even
true.
If the parents are, for example, so, bedridden or they're in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
But they should be so happy to show their parents around. And if they have that felt that love between the parents and the child, then automatically they will be proud of their parents.
Yeah, true.
So this is very important, because this is the best way to get felicity in this world and the hereafter for the child, the teenagers. If they want that goodness of this world and the hereafter and that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they should ensure that they are grateful for their parents and whatever they've done. In fact, the parents, if they have not lived up to that standard, the teenagers also, if they are listening to what I'm speaking, they should even try to be so polite to their parents. They should try to be so grateful to the parents, because it can't be said that they didn't do anything for them. They raised them, they looked after them, and they even carried them all those 9 months, which was weakness after weakness, but like the mother, for example.
Yeah.
So she's given so many rights and heaven lies under her feet. And even if she's wrong, you should be, calm before her. So teenagers should realize this thing. And unfortunately, in this day and age, it's not so much practiced. But I say that if the child is raised in such a loving manner, then the teenager will reciprocate that same behavior.
Very true. Ahsant, and inshallah that we are such children and to our parents as well, however old or young we are, inshallah. Thank you very much for your very valuable time, Sister Salma, and we hope to see you in the next episode. Dear listeners, you have just listened to IRIB English Radio, where we had a discussion on child upbringing under the program Islamic Upbringing. And if you want to listen to our programs or get more information, you can log on to parstoday.ir/en under the tab COI, which is Call of Islam. And if you type in Call of Islam Radio, you can find it on YouTube and Instagram. And you can email us on englishradio@irib.ir. God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Iran and Hamas call for an international investigation of crimes committed in Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital. Israeli forces kill a Palestinian man over a stabbing attack that left three settlers seriously injured. And the Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has staged fresh attacks on